College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by VCU head coach Mike Rhodes, the newly minted VCU head coach, I might add. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we're the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audible.com/CH today and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. So we're going to get to Mike Rhodes and VCU and talk about the long lineage of great coaches that have coached at that basketball program, from Jeff Capel to Anthony Grant to Shaka Smart to Will Wade. But right now, when you look at the precipice of college basketball in April and going into May, you are looking at a sport that is hinging on different decisions from different programs in terms of will certain players remain in the NBA draft, and also how those decisions will affect recruiting during the next couple of weeks. So the news came down late on Saturday night that Frank Jackson, Duke's freshman point guard, would enter the 2017 NBA draft without retaining the services of an agent, thus making him eligible to return to school next season after going through the draft combine and other pre-draft workouts. Now, why is this so important? Duke right now does not have a bona fide option at point guard without Frank Jackson. They are recruiting Trayvon Duval, the best point guard in the 2017 class, as hard as anybody in the country. I have been told right now from different people around college basketball that Duke is at the top of the list for Trayvon Duval, but again, it's highly unlikely that Trayvon Duval makes the commitment to Duke without knowing what Frank Jackson is going to do. Because if Frank Jackson goes back to Duke, he wants to have autonomy in the backcourt. He wants to run the show. It's going to be, in my opinion, highly unlikely that each of those players go to Duke and play together next season. So for Duke right now, you're in a little bit of a holding pattern. Probably your first priority would be to have Frank Jackson come back and be your point guard as a sophomore and be maybe the best point guard in the ACC. But Frank Jackson is going to the NBA draft to test, and I can tell you that Frank Jackson has his sights set on being an NBA player. Now, I know that's easy to say because everybody wants to be an NBA player, but I'm telling you this, he is not just going through this process to test the waters and get feedback. If this kid can go to the NBA and get drafted in the first round, he will go to the NBA and get drafted, but Duke then will have to wait for that decision either way before, in my opinion, it will be able to get a commitment from somebody like Trayvon Duval. Now, down the road at North Carolina, they're in a different type of quandary. North Carolina took a commitment over the weekend from Garrison Brooks, former Mississippi State commit, to give them more size in the front court. Now, why is that so important? Kennedy Meeks and Isaiah Hicks are gone. Their eligibility is over. Tony Bradley has entered the NBA draft without an agent, along with his teammates Joel Berry and Theo Pinson. North Carolina announced that on Monday. And now I was told by a graduate transfer on Monday, Jack Whitman from William & Mary, who's a 6'9 post player, that he is going to visit North Carolina this week. That to me tells me that North Carolina showed by how hard they went after Garrison Brooks and the fact that they're bringing in a kid from William & Mary who's a post player on a visit as a grad transfer, thinks that there's a legitimate chance that Tony Bradley could keep his name in the NBA draft and not come back next season. That completely changes things, in my opinion, when you look at the Tar Heels. Because right now, if you're evaluating North Carolina for next season, you look at their front court and you look at Luke May and you look at Garrison Brooks, and after that, it's a little bit of a hodgepodge. And that is why they're bringing in Jack Whitman, the grad transfer from William & Mary, on an official visit later this week. And that is why they're holding their bated breath on Tony Bradley. So you look right now at two of college basketball's blue bloods, Duke and North Carolina. Duke holding their breath on both Frank Jackson and Trayvon Duval. North Carolina holding their breath on Tony Bradley. And that is why, and I've said this on multiple forums, it is very difficult to get a gauge for next season until all these kids say yay or nay to the NBA draft. Over 100 different kids right now testing the waters and putting their name in. Now, we've talked about two great programs in Duke and North Carolina. We're going to get to another coming up in VCU. The newly minted head coach of the Rams, Mike Rhodes, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein when we return. VCU made a head coaching change in the offseason. They hired a familiar face. The guy was the top assistant when the Rams went to the Final Four in 2011 under Shaka Smart. He was the head coach of Rice for the past 3 years. And Mike Rhodes now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Mike, is it sometimes hard to believe that you wake up in the morning and now you're the head coach at VCU?
It's crazy, John. I'm not going to lie to you. We've been going at it, ripping it really hard here, but every morning I'm like pinching myself like, this is crazy, but it's been a lot of fun.
What are the biggest things you learned at Rice when you left VCU and became a head coach in Division I for the first time that you didn't have in your arsenal when you were a top lieutenant at VCU?
Well, you know, what helped me even before that, John, was 10 years at Randolph Macon as a head coach at a young age. So I really cut my teeth and you learn from a lot of mistakes or a lot of decisions at Randolph Macon for sure. But just the probably more importantly at Rice was making sure we had a plan for everything we're doing. I had a great staff at Rice, John, that really helped us move us forward. And that was so important to us here when I got here at VCU, to make sure we got the guys and the staff that we really wanted. But I think the biggest thing is not panicking in recruiting, not panicking in making decisions with your staff and making sure that, you're in this for the long haul, so let's plan for the long haul.
Now, you mentioned that you were the head coach of a Division III program in Randolph-Macon. You had great success there before joining the staff at VCU. Now that you've experienced both, what are the biggest differences in being a head coach in Division III versus Division I?
Well, the biggest difference, and I've told people this, at this level, even at Rice, but especially at VCU, you have so much more support, so much more staffing, that you have to make sure you balance your staff well and you make sure they're doing what they're supposed to. But you got to balance it all. Where at Randolph-Macon, John, it was me and an assistant, and we did everything. We did everything from getting hotels and buses situated for road trips to passing out meals on the bus, to washing uniforms after a big win, where you have so much support and so much help here in all facets of the program. You got to make sure you balance it and let people do their jobs and do their jobs effectively. That's probably the biggest adjustment. I'm like, what do you do with all these people? But it's a good thing, too. It's a positive.
VCU head coach Mike Rhodes joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today a podcast. Mike, obviously a longtime assistant at VCU from 2009 to 2014 before becoming the head coach at Rice for three seasons. Now he is the head coach at VCU. And, Mike, you have an interesting story about how you courted becoming an assistant at VCU the first time. For people who aren't familiar, please share with us right now how you went after a job before Shaka Smart was hired when Anthony Grant was the head coach.
Oh, yeah. The day of Coach Grant's press conference, it was probably like 9:30 or 10 o'clock. After 10 o'clock, John, I'm lying in bed and ready to go to sleep. And I said to my wife, I'm going to go down and take my resume down to Coach Grant. And my wife said, it's pretty late. I said, when you're the head coach and you take a new job, you're in your office late. And I drove down to the Siegel Center, which wasn't too far from Ashland, where Randolph Macon's located. And I found a way to get up to his office. Coach Grant was on the phone, and I waited a few minutes on the hallway. He came out. I introduced myself, and not only I didn't get a position, he already filled them, but it was great to get to know him. And I spent a lot of practices in Franklin Street Gym with Coach Grant and his staff. Got to know those guys, and great respect for Coach. And I you got to throw yourself out there sometimes. You can't be afraid to throw yourself out there. And if I'm going to bet on anybody, John, I'm going to bet on me. So I went down there and gave it a shot. And opportunities like that sometimes present themselves at the craziest times.
Well, and obviously, look at how things have come full circle. Coach Grant comes back to the Atlantic 10 this year at Dayton, so you'll be coaching against him this year, two of the more prime programs in the Atlantic 10. But that was a different time for the VCU program. You've kind of seen this whole thing evolve. What is it like for somebody who saw VCU for what it was before the Final Four to see what it's evolved into now in 2017?
It's great, and not just great because – we're a part of the basketball program now. It's just great for the community, the city of Richmond. They have, you know, that's the city's team, the VCU Rams. I think the neatest thing about it is I remember being in the stands in 1999 when the Siegel Center opened. I was in my last year as an assistant for Coach Nunley, Hal Nunley at Randolph-Macon, and we used to go down and see the games. And from that point on till now, has been unbelievable, and not just in this area, but of course, as you know, nationally, and what people think of VCU basketball. So it's come so far. But what I love about it, John, is they've done it the right way. They put their resources into it. They've supported it the right way. They want us to win, but want us to win the right way. And it's a great environment to be a coach. It's so positive to be on this campus. If you walk through VCU's campus, you can feel the positive vibes. You can feel how much they love the basketball program, but also love the school. So you want to be at a place like that where there's that type of environment. You know, it makes you come to work every day and get after it.
Mike, we've seen the last four head coaches at VCU, Jeff Capel, Anthony Grant, Shaka Smart, Will Wade, use this job as a platform to get a more high-profile position. For me, this is different from you. Why do you think this job might be a destination job versus a stepping stone job for you versus maybe other people in coaching?
Well, number one is I consider Richmond home. My kids were born here. My wife and I were here for a long time. We love it. My wife's best friends. I have great friends in this area. My kids' friends, my daughter's besties are here. So that's very, very familiar. And we have deep roots here. Now we get to reconnect them and make them stronger. And then I've been in Division III. I come on a whim to work with Coach Smart, who never coached a game as a head coach before. And some people are like, why would you do that? I just felt right about it. I just believed in Shaka and his way and his approach. Then I went on a limb, as many people know, to take over a program at Rice that is growing across the country. Program hasn't had a lot of success, and we're going to put our stamp on it, which we did. So I'm not bouncing my kids around the country to just so dad can do this or do that. People that know me know that family's first, and our program and my family, you know, it's connected on a daily basis. That's just how we do it. I'm really excited about what we can build here and put my stamp on it, like I said, and this is home to me, and I'm really excited about being here. My youngest son, John, is in second grade, and he's got 10 years before he leaves high school. And knowing because he's a Rhodes, it might be 12 years for graduation. So he's gonna be at the same school. He's gonna have his friends. He's gonna have a school where there's school spirit, and he's a part of it and all that stuff. And my other two children as well. And that's really, really important to me. And we don't use the word sacrifice in our house, but we made some decisions that have changed and altered things we've done. And for my kids, I don't want to do that anymore. I want them to have roots like I did when I was growing up and my wife did. And we want our roots to be here in Richmond.
Well, and I'm sure that's music to the ears of many VCU fans who, again, have caught this basketball bug over the last 5 or 6 years. And, you know, what a lot of people want to know is what is the identity of your program going to be? We saw it obviously become havoc under Shaka Smart. Will Wade obviously made a couple of tweaks here and there. When you look at the blueprint for VCU basketball under Mike Rhodes, what's it going to look like?
Well, I think, you know, all programs, no matter what people want to say or call it, takes the personality of the head coach. If it doesn't, then I think you're all over the place trying to find different ways, different years to play. We want to play fast, John. It's a fun way to play. It's a fun way to coach. I really enjoyed that at Randolph-Macon when we were there. And, of course, with Coach Smart, and we played fast at Rice. The people at Rice couldn't believe that a Rice team was going to play fast, and we sure did it. And we're going to do that here. We're going to be aggressive and tough. If you want to try to win a championship, you got to have a level of toughness to go do that on days when it's really, really hard. And we're going to build a level of toughness in our program that people are going to be very proud of, and it's going to take on the identity of each other and our staff. And then we're going to play very selflessly. We're going to put the name on the jersey, on the front of the jersey is going to be more important on the back, and our guys are going to make each other better all the time. And that's something we demanded from the first day I got here, is make your teammates better, and things will come back to you tenfold. And the guys are really buying into it. We've had a really good couple weeks here, workouts and on the court, and the guys are really gassed up, ready to go, and really excited about the summer when we get here.
Well, and that brings me to my next question. You've had a couple of weeks right now to work your team out. Obviously, VCU went to the tournament again as the streak continues for the Rams. What have been your early impressions of the pieces that you've inherited?
Well, I like it. You know, there's definitely some skill there. Guys that can make plays, guys that can shoot it. And, you know, the green light approach we had at Rice is definitely here at VCU with these guys. I want them to play very loose, John. I want them to play not looking over their shoulder to the bench. I think that's when you get the best out of guys and when they're most aggressive. So I think the guys are really taking that. Who doesn't take to that? So I think they really like that part of it. Justin Tillman has been, you know, he's going to be a senior, and he's been through the battles before in the A-10, he and Johnny Williams. I'm really excited about those two guys. I think Justin spent more time in the gym in the last month than he has in a long time. His body's right. He's not nagging injuries and so forth. So he's healthy, and we're looking forward to having he and Johnny have great senior years and lead our way. And then Deriante Jenkins and Samir Dowdy, Malik Crawford, Isaac Van, a transfer from Maine. Those guys got to really step up. They're still young, but they're talented. I like the edge that they have, and I'm really excited about that. And then, you know, we're working the recruiting really hard right now. We've had some success, some early success here, and we got a couple of big weeks ahead of us here with some visits that I'm really looking forward to.
Well, and, you know, one of the things, too, while obviously it's an exciting time to be the head coach at VCU, it's also a step up to a league that's been a multi-bid league in the NCAA tournament. For you personally, after being an assistant in the Atlantic 10, what do you anticipate about now being a head coach in the Atlantic 10?
Well, so every night's going to be a war. Every night's going to be a dogfight. It's part of, you know, for a player, you want to challenge yourself against the best, and it's the same as a coach, John. I what a great opportunity for me in my point of my career, that I have an opportunity to be in the best, one of the best basketball leagues in the country, that have multi-bid league. There's some teams that can make deep runs in the NCAA tournament, and you can be a part of that. I mean, what an unbelievable opportunity for me and our staff. And, you know, we're going to be very humbled and appreciative of it, but we're also going to go after it too. And let's see if we could be that one of those players for sure.
There's an expectation, Mike, as you well know, at VCU, not just to go to the NCAA tournament, but to win games in the NCAA tournament. You know, Billie Jean King said that pressure is a privilege. How much does that sentiment have to be echoed on a daily basis when you're the head coach at VCU?
Well, I'm wired a little differently. I've probably put more pressure on myself my whole life than anyone else can, and I've always been that way. So I'm going to use that to my advantage in this job, and keep pushing myself to be the best coach I can. And that means you're at a really good basketball program that expects to win and wants to win and wants to win at a high level, and coaches want that. And if there's pressure, the pressure within is going to be more for me, on myself. But I love that. I've had that on me for a long time at a young age as a college coach at 25. And that was a lot of pressure then. And it still is now, but that's okay. I know how to deal with it. I know how to balance it. And I'm really excited. I'm glad I have that. That means we're at a place where we could do some great things.
What's the biggest change you've seen in the Atlantic 10 since you left 3 years ago?
Just how deep the league is. I thought all the teams when I left in 14 were good. Now I think there's some great teams. The coaching changes have been unbelievable. Some really good coaches. And I think there's a caliber of player now. Each team has go-to guys, multiple go-to guys that are on the cusp of being NBA players or are already NBA players. So, you know, we got our hands full that way, but, you know, we're part of that mix as well, which is a good thing.
Well, Mike, I appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are with recruiting. Best of luck wrapping that up, and looking forward to having you back on the East Coast, and looking forward to more trips down I-95 to see you, VCU, with you on the sidelines.
Always welcome, John. I appreciate you. All the best.
We'd like to thank VCU head coach Mike Rhodes for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. They are currently offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/CH today and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible has an outstanding collection of exclusive original short stories and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, handpicked and continuously refreshed. You can even switch back and forth between reading and listening to the audiobook across many devices, including Amazon's Kindle and Echo, without ever losing your place or missing a word. So visit audible.com/CH today to enjoy a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/CH today. And now time for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'll answer them. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question right now is going to come from our friend Edward Allen Marlowe, and it's, John, what do you expect to be the most likely scenario in Missouri Valley realignment? Well, I reported, obviously, after we saw Wichita State go to the American Conference, that there were two teams and two programs that were being targeted by the Missouri Valley, Valpo and also Murray State. I think Valpo, from what I'm hearing, is the more likely of the additions, and we'll continue to monitor that as the weeks and days continue to progress. Our next question is from Dylan Knob, and it's, what would a Brian Bowen commit mean for Creighton and Michigan State, and what's your gut feeling on his decision? Now, Brian Bowen, for those who aren't following, one of the top remaining players in the class of 2017, a Dylan Brooks-type combo forward, can really score the basketball. I think that the fact that Miles Bridges and Alonzo Trier went back to Michigan State and Arizona, respectively, hurt those teams because this kid thinks he's a one-and-done kid. He wants to come in and play right away. I think if Creighton could get Brian Bowen and then all of a sudden give themselves Bowen at the four, Kyrie Thomas at the three, Marcus Foster at the two, and Caleb Joseph, the Syracuse transfer point guard, I think Creighton could turn into a legitimate top 25 team. That is something to keep an eye on as, again, we get into the spring recruiting period more and more. And look, I said this last week right here on the College Hoops Today podcast, there is so much uncertainty, not just from the kids that are toying with becoming, you know, NBA draft prospects and putting their name into the draft, but also with high school freshmen. There's a lot of really good players that have yet to commit. Now that we've got you set with your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, is Kansas becoming transfer U? Well, in the last year, the Jayhawks have taken four transfers. Malik Newman from Mississippi State, Sam Cunliffe from Arizona State, Diedrich and KJ Lawson from Memphis, and I'm told they might be involved with another. Kansas, from what I'm hearing right now, the leader and the favorite for Cal transfer, Charlie Moore. Illinois is also in the mix, but again, Moore, a dynamic double-figure scorer as a freshman for the Bears. I'm hearing the Jayhawks are potentially the favorite to land his services. Nugget number two, the sleeper in Villanova's recruiting class. To me, that's Colin Gillespie, the 6'2 guard from Pennsylvania. Saw him a couple weeks ago at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn during the Jordan Brand Classic regional game. Think a watered-down version of Oregon freshman Peyton Pritchard. Very similar elements in his game. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of sizzle with Gillespie, but I think there's going to be some real steak. Nugget number three, Miami bringing Lonnie Walker home. I reported last week that Miami will play LaSalle on November 22nd in Reading, Pennsylvania, in a neutral court game. Lonnie Walker, the five-star freshman that will play for Miami next season. Nugget number four, Cincinnati schedule taking shape. In the past week, the Bearcats have finished up home-and-home series with UCLA and Mississippi State for next season. UCLA starts on the road December 16th. Mississippi State will start at home. And nugget number five, St. John's equals Big East wild card. You know, one of the things I talked about in my column this week was the fact that as long as Trayvon Blewett comes back for Xavier, you're going to see a Big East conference that kind of looks like Villanova, Xavier, and then everybody else kind of close together. St. John's is is the wild card right now in the Big East Conference. Went from 8 wins in year 1 under Chris Mullin to 14 in year 2. But I'll say this, it's very difficult to go from 14 to 20 wins. A lot easier to go to 8 from 14 or to go to 14 from 8. We'd like to thank VCU head coach Mike Rhodes for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.